The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome everybody to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues, the name of this show, on Tuesday, August the 20th, 2024. Thanks for listening. And I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And Ray Pritchard. How you doing, Brother Ray?
Hey, I'm doing good. Tim, how are you doing today?
Doing well. It's a nice day here in Tupelo.
It is.
Mid to upper 70s. What about you guys there? Now, that's not going to be true all day, but go ahead.
It is 70 degrees dead on this morning here in Shawnee, and we've had, after some blistering hot August weather, 70 makes us really happy.
Yeah.
And looks like it's going to be pretty cool for the rest of the week, too, so it's all good.
I also enjoyed the weather this morning. I got up and went for a run.
Or did you now?
That's right, and I didn't break a sweat. Seriously.
Nice.
Wow. So no humidity.
Nope. No, it was really cool. I'm looking it up now. I don't know if I'll get to it before everybody gets bored, but I think it was 65 degrees.
You mean the
it
weather?
Felt like 65 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Wesley, how often do you go out and run? I mean, I'm envious, to be honest. So.
Yeah. I would say on average, once a week, I'll get out and run a mile, and then other days I'll alternate some form of a cardio, whether it between push-ups and other things, interchange that. Some months I'm on a harder schedule than others. You know, I'm pretty fluid, but I try to stay active in some way between 6 and 7 a.m. in the morning, in some way.
You do the cardio too, right? Ray, you do the bike ride.
I do my bike ride.
There you go.
Not between 6 and 7.
But right.
I did mine yesterday in the afternoon, and it was pretty hot yesterday. That was something of a mistake. I came back just covered with sweat. I should be getting up like you, Wesley, and doing it early.
Well, on a morning like today, I didn't break a sweat. And also, too, I had a little bit of a shoulder surgery a couple weeks back, so that's also my time while I do some of the physical therapy that they – told me I need to do in order to, you know, make it the best I can. So
my cardio includes
oh boy,
getting out
here,
of the
here we go
well getting out of the golf cart and walking there the 10 go. Yards and back.
Yeah, there and back,
you know what I'm saying?
Round trip.
It's a round trip.
That's right.
Get your heart rate up. I'm guessing
if you end up in a sand trap, your heart rate's gonna go up.
I'm just saying.
That's true.
I'm just saying that's different strokes for different folks, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
See what
right.
I did there with the
I did.
Golf,
I did see
golf
what you
fun.
Did there.
Chris Woodward, your cardio regimen.
Yes, I do about 3 days a week out in the garage, and then I get on the
like you're in a band or something. What?
No, I go out there in the mornings about 5:30 and do cardio workouts. Some of them are HIIT workouts, which HIIT is high intensity interval training. That's where you do some it's kind of like short burst of various cardio things. I need cardio just for, you know, good blood flow and heart purposes,
right,
to get through being a news guy.
Yes, because the stories you have to deal with on a daily basis make your heart go
your heart on your ticker.
You get right.
So do you have some kind of equipment out there in your in
no
your
I get out there and I have videos that I watch on my phone. I like work out with
like
the
motivational videos.
No, it's like a trainer on the video.
Like you get on the inside bicycle.
Yeah. Kind of like that. What's funny is a couple of the instructors are females, and one time my daughter, who was like 9 or 10 at the time, she came through. I was doing it in the living room, and she was like, "Dad, why are you doing a lady workout?" I was like, It's cardio.
It's cardio.
Good for
it. It's for the heart.
Yeah.
So, Ray, you ever do those bicycles where they – You can ride through the Himalayas and all that stuff.
I have got one out. I'm pointing at it, and I touch it as infrequently as possible. To me, I like to ride. You know, I've done about 55,000 miles over the last 20 years or so, but all of that's outside, right on the roads.
Yeah,
you know, where you can get hit by cars or bust your leg or whatever. Right. You know. So
yeah, and you've had a couple of scary
experiences. I've had a couple of experiences like that.
Yeah. All right, Ray, give us a good word from the Bible this morning.
All right, look, listen, I got it. I got it today because I thought you might ask me. Look, this is from the Message, Hebrews chapter 12. What is God doing in the world? I mean, look at what's going on. What's God doing? Here's his answer. He's shaking the world. I'm reading from Hebrews 12, verse, let's see what it's about, verse 26, 27. The phrase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Okay, so you watch the stuff that's going on in politics. Maybe you watched some last night in Chicago. You just saw the stuff going on around in our world. Lord, what are you doing? He's shaking it up. Friends, he's shaking up the world in these last days in preparation for giving us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So here's the good word for today. Friends, if you're a Christian, you're going to inherit someday a kingdom that cannot be shaken, not from the left, not from the right, not by the politicians, not by the people in Hollywood, a kingdom that is unshakable. God's going to give it to us. So listen, if you got some money, invest it for God. If you've got some time, spend it with the hurting. If you've got some good news, share it with the lost. God's giving us an unshakable kingdom. It's ours, guaranteed. Last word, don't waste your one and only life. This dying world is dying, and God's going to replace it with an unshakable kingdom. Why would you live for this world when the great kingdom of God is coming our way? So hang on, friends. We're in shaky days, but the unshakable kingdom is on its way.
Sounds like a message of priorities, making sure our priorities are in order.
You know, Wesley, there it is. You either live for this world. If you live for this world, you die with this world. If you live for God, live for Jesus, you live forever, and the unshakable kingdom is yours for all eternity.
Amen.
Did you say there was a particular Bible verse or verses you were?
Hebrews 12, 26 and 27. That didn't even sound like the Bible because I was quoting from The Message by Eugene Peterson. Which is a paraphrase. But I like it because he uses a little phrase here, Tim, that I love it. He says, what's God doing? One last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk. And let me tell you, this world is full of junk. God's doing a house cleaning now to get us ready for the second coming of Christ.
And if you want more, go to Ray's website. Ray Pritchard there. Is that who you're listening to if you're new to our program? And his website is keepbelieving.com. Keepbelieving.com. This show, if you listen regularly, you know we try to cover the events of our times and do so through a biblical worldview lens, if you will. We try our best there.
Absolutely.
Anyway, some times we may miss the mark or others on the panel may miss the mark.
You looked at Chris like,
well, I'm
you
just
know,
saying,
Chris,
I mean, Chris, I guess
others, these others.
Well, it's hard to have self-reflection when you're talking, right, sometimes.
So. Yeah, yeah.
I get what you're saying.
I would have to leave it to others to judge whether I'm accomplishing that.
By the time I caught my facial expression, I knew what you meant.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Go ahead, Chris. Yeah.
Well, my job here is to share with you what people are talking about on television networks and in print articles as the news guy.
What's happening in our country?
Yes, the big story today on virtually all the television channels, including even the BBC, is kind of a recap of the various speeches, things people had to say at day one of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Democrats have gathered there where they are going to formally announce Vice President Harris as the nominee for 2024 as far as the Democratic Party is concerned. A lot of people are focusing on what President Joe Biden had to say in his address last night. This one in particular is has a lot of people talking. Biden referencing the anti-Israel protesters that have gathered outside the United Center there in Chicago. Biden said that they have a point, and that's where I want to begin this morning. Clip one.
To end the civilian suffering of the Palestinian people and finally deliver a ceasefire and end this war. Those protesters out in the street, they have a point. A lot of innocent people are being killed on both sides.
That seems a little bit hesitant with the crowd. Are we supposed to clap on this or not?
Yeah. A lot of people are talking about it because Biden is appearing to be sympathetic with pro-Hamas protesters out there. And also people are pointing out that the war, his words, only started after Israel was attacked by terrorists back in October.
Yeah.
So it's not like Israel just decided to go to war with somebody.
Listen, Biden, he used to be a very good speaker, okay? Now he's just so, his skills have so deteriorated. Everything, when he wants to make an emphasis of a point, just sounds forced and awkward. In this war, I mean, I don't know, huh? I mean, it just, it is time for him to exit stage left, as they say, or right, whichever one you want to go on. But they put him at, the Democrat National Committee, didn't they put him like at 10 or 11 o'clock Central
it
time?
It was late. It was very late.
I give him credit for staying up.
Yeah. I was not awake.
I'm going to give him some points there, huh?
Yeah, I did go to bed.
It was his farewell address to a send off, or some people say a push off, to get out of the way. And they wanted to, I think they wanted to put it way late at night for these people on the East Coast who.
It's midnight on the East Coast.
They had long gone to bed. Most people in the Central time zone weren't watching. So they got him on stage, let him do his speech, but then put him way past when most of the country would be, for those who even cared at all, paying attention. Ray, what do you think?
Look, I think he's probably already back in Washington. They put him on late the first night. They don't want to hear from him again. Mm-mm. We're not going to see his face. Mm-mm. He's not going to be back on the platform. And he sounded slightly confused and angry during that speech last night.
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole speech. Did you watch most of it or enough of it?
Just little clips of it.
Yeah.
And he sounded angry and confused and slow. As you said, Tim, he was once a pretty good speech maker.
Yeah,
those days have come and gone.
Yeah.
And really, look, put yourself in his position. How you feel? How do you feel?
I know.
On that platform, knowing, President Trump says it was a coup, and that's not a bad way to put it. Somebody said something to him that made him decide not to run again. How good could he feel speaking, knowing that they've brushed him aside, swept him aside?
Right.
He's done for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about the coup, it's not just Republicans that have said that. Maureen Dowd wrote this op-ed. I believe you guys have talked about it already this week on the show. But Maureen Dowd for New York Times said it was obviously a coup. That's never going to go away. We all know what happened. We've also had people like John Schweppe at American Principles Project, which is conservative.
Yeah.
He's referred to it as a donor coup, saying people behind Disney and the big corporations wanted him out.
Well, I understand what you guys are saying, and I don't disagree with it, but it was time for him to go.
No, I agree, but it was time before that, too. It's been time for a while.
Yeah.
It's just the issue here that I have is that they allowed it to go on as long as they did. Knowing that the whole time they should have.
Yeah, I think
they shouldn't have allowed him to rerun.
I think they were trying to hide it as best they could.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And then the debate was just utter.
That's what I was going to get to. Yeah, because really up to that point, there was really no difference. It was the debate that exposed everything.
Yes.
Why do they have a debate now when they didn't?
Plus, when you got the juggernaut like Kamala Harris sitting in the wings, there's no – it's time to put Tom Brady in the game.
Yeah.
And Drew Bledsoe, I'm sorry.
You're done. You're history. You're toast.
Those who remember that what happened there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we'll see. You know, it could very well be that they didn't want to lose down ballot because – but I don't –
Anyway, so who's up tonight?
The Obamas are going to speak tonight.
Both of them? Yeah, it's being referred to as the Obamas are going to speak tonight.
Okay. Barack has already posted on X, formerly known as Twitter. It's great to be back in his hometown.
Chicago.
He loves it so much that he lives in Massachusetts, near the ocean, where he says the sea levels are rising. So he's going to be there to speak. I'm sure he's going to have great things to say about Vice President.
So former President Obama and Michelle Obama are on tap for tonight. Okay.
You know, I get pulled both ways on stuff like that. My first reaction is I'm certainly not going to be watching that. On the other hand, I go, I don't know. That might be interesting.
You might watch that.
Maybe entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Man, who knows? Go ahead, Chris.
Well, in an effort to kind of condense a few clips here, because we try to only begin the show with X amount of clips every day, I have combined a couple of other things that Biden had to say with reaction from the Trump campaign, specifically National Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt. Here now is what Biden had to say about border policy with reaction from the Trump campaign. Clip two.
Trump continues to lie about the border. Here's what he won't tell you. Trump killed the strongest bipartisan border deal in the history of the United States. The result of the executive action I took, border encounters have dropped over 50%. In fact, there are fewer border crossings today than when Donald Trump left office.
It was absolutely shameful, and it's a complete lie, and the American people know it.
Yes,
and watching night one of the DNC was like watching an alternative reality. There was no mention of the migrant crime epidemic that has been allowed to transpire because of Kamala Harris's job as border czar, her open border policy.
Yeah, what they did, what they're not, the DNC, what they're not understanding here is that we're not wanting a bipartisan border bill. We're wanting to shut it down.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Listen.
Not to mention the lies that were in there. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Positionally, we want to.
Listen, as I've said many times on this program, Republicans can lie sometimes too.
Sure.
But
that's a whopper.
But what Biden did right there, that's kind of like shameless.
Yes.
Kind of like everybody in the world knows what you're saying is not true. You've let, who knows, millions and millions of people in. It's been all over the news. It's in the mainstream liberal media. That's right. So bad.
Yes.
We don't know how many people are here. He invited people to come here. He said, we'll pay. He said, I invite a surge. Mm-hmm. He did away with all. We all know this, but he did away with all Trump's policies. Remain
executive
in Mexico.
Executive orders.
Yes. Executive orders. Why do you, if.
I know Trump put the policy in place, but he did away with executive orders that had to do with the policy.
Biden.
Yeah.
When Biden, first thing he did when he got into office is do everything he could to open up the borders.
That.
Right?
Yep, 100%.
That Trump had in place to close down the borders.
Right.
And he did it in the name of stopping xenophobia. And keep our country from being racist. So
yes,
we're not racist. Everybody come. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody did come from around the world, and they're still coming by the million. They've been. Some people estimate 8 to 10 million people since Biden's been in.
Go ahead.
So for Biden to get on stage and somehow he shouldn't even talk.
That's
about
what I was going to say. Just ignore it.
Just ignore it. Don't even talk about illegal immigration because
it's a law.
Ray, when you're doing that, people are like. Even the liberals know what he's saying is not true.
Look, was it a lie? Absolutely. But I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, given the political realities, that may be the last time we see his face.
That's true.
Between now and November. So I think he was going, hey, I'm going to throw everything I got. I'm going to say whatever I want because people aren't even going to see me between now and the election.
Also, it's kind of weird. Because when Democrats brag, like Biden's trying to do about having border security, that's for a lot of Democrats, that's not a badge of honor. You should be for open borders if you're a Democrat. All Democrats favor that, but a lot of them, they're opposed to any kind of restrictions. They believe there should be no borders, that nobody's illegal, and that we should have compassion and pay for everybody's housing and health care who want to come here from around the world. I mean, that's what the AOC type ideology, the Bernie Sanders type ideology. That's a big segment of the Democrat Party. So don't get up there and brag about stopping people from coming, which he didn't do.
Mm-hmm. I do think, though, in this these next couple of months, this window, as we've seen with Harris, they are changing a lot of what they did believe for the longest because it wasn't working. When you express what you just said out loud as opposed to just acting on it and remaining quiet, I do believe you're getting a lot of pushback. So that very well could be a part of the DNC's helping Harris as she has changed other policies to...
Well, Trump needs to hammer this.
Yeah.
He needs to hammer this issue. This is a winning issue for him.
That's right. And the economy.
And he needs to issue. Trump needs to say every time he goes and speaks that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden open the borders of America to millions and millions of people to come here illegally. And they did, and they're still coming. So I would frame it like this, America, if I were Donald Trump and I was running his campaign, I would say, do you want no borders or do you want border security? It's your choice in November. Mm-hmm. So whatever you choose, that's the direction we're going to go. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Chris.
I also have a little bit of things that Hillary Clinton had to say her speech last night, followed by a reaction from people on the right. Here now is a combination of Hillary Clinton and OutKick's Tommy Lahren, clip 5.
We put a lot of cracks in the highest, hardest glass ceiling. Tonight, so close to breaking through once and for all. On the other side of that glass ceiling is Kamala Harris raising her hand and taking the oath of office as our 47th President of the United States. The future is here. It's in our grasp. Let's go win it.
Nothing says new and present and forward-looking quite like Hillary Rodham Clinton. I will say that she is the Christmas fruitcake of American politics. She simply will not go away.
That's a great line. What was she? She's bragging. What was she? The glass ceiling. She's talking about a woman being president, Ray? Is that what she's talking about?
That's right. That's right. The last one.
Where does the metaphor of glass ceiling come from? Does anybody know here?
I don't know.
Anybody know here? I don't know. I know what it means, but I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. Huh? I know that people don't throw rocks if you live in glass houses, but
you get the answer, but you have to decide it.
Chris going
to
look it up.
Well, when it's a Democrat speaking and you don't know first,
I want to know what the metaphor where it originated.
I love that Hillary Clinton is what the Christmas fruitcake of America.
Yeah, never goes away.
By the way, it's only 127 days.
That's a great line. Tremendous.
Okay, I think I may have an answer.
All right, what is
this? Is according to the internet, where you can't post anything that isn't true. The term glass ceiling was first used in 1978 by writer and consultant Marilyn Loden at a panelist discussion about women in the workplace.
Okay, but where did she get it from? I don't know. What does it even mean?
Sounds
I know what it means, but I don't know what it means.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Get my point, and I'm obsessed with this right now.
Well,
I'm not stopping.
Let me see if I can help out here.
So
if you got a ceiling and there's glass, so you can see through it.
Think through
it. You can see through it, but you can't reach where you want to go.
From the same
website. You got to break through it to get to where you want to go.
Right. The term glass ceiling refers to the invisible nature of the barriers preventing women and people of marginalized groups from reaching higher positions.
Let's go.
You nailed it.
We did. Not only did I nail it, I hijacked a Trivia Friday question. Now you can't use it.
Yeah. You did. Yeah. Yep. That's a good point. That still sounds kind of dumb to me. But anyway, whatever.
It was the 1970s. It was a different time.
Maybe she was doing 1970s stuff. You know
but, you know, back to their platform, identity politics.
Yep.
You know, Hillary
Clinton is saying, Hillary Clinton is saying, break that glass ceiling. They will finally get a woman president. In parentheses, because I'll never be it.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Which, as we say here, who cares?
Yeah, and identity politics is
identity
a failure.
Politics. What does it matter what gender you are? How does that? I guarantee you, if it was a Republican woman,
yeah. That wouldn't.
Then that wouldn't count.
That's right.
Wouldn't count.
Nope.
The glass ceiling being broken, whatever that even means. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, and Chris, and Ray. We're all here. Wesley, if people want to, if they missed the show and they want to get the podcast, which is podcast basically means it's a audio recording that you can listen to anytime on demand. How can they do that?
I feel like you're setting me up for failure.
I'm not.
The last time we tried this, I filled in for
Ed. I'm going to leave you alone.
This is Ed's question, and Ed's not here to answer it. Right. And last time I tried to fill in for Ed,
those are big shoes, my friend.
It was 5 minutes later, and we still didn't get the.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
All right. I'll try not to fail this one. You can go to afr.net. This is where we recommend you go in there because from there you've got all of our podcasts archived there. So afr.net is one place. You can also go to our YouTube channel or any of our other social
media. We have a YouTube channel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we don't anymore. We do. It changes, Dad.
Yeah, it changes. Depending on whether we say ivermectin or not.
That's right.
We say ivermectin. Like I just did it two times. I probably triggered them.
Done. Yeah, you're out of here.
It's gone.
Our social media platforms, you can go there and type in today's issues live, or again, we also recommend downloading on any smartphone devices our AFR app. So our AFR app, AFR.net are the two primary places we'd like to point you to, because from there, not only can you listen live, but there's other content that we've done in the past, and of course other programs too. You know, there's a lot of times that we get busy and we're not able to be at the radio or even at your device during live radio programs, which is why we've gone out of our way to make sure that we have everything podcasted and archived so you can listen to it at your convenience.
All right. Well, listen, joining us in studio right now is Tony Vitagliano, who is Ed's offspring. And welcome, Brother Tony.
Thank you.
I invited you in because you sent out an article late yesterday afternoon saying the Social Security numbers of millions of people have been hacked into. Is that right?
That's right.
What happened?
Yeah. So National Public Data is a company that takes information, aggregates data for background checks, has recently confirmed a massive data breach involving Social Security numbers, other personal data, that's address, last name, first name. For millions of Americans.
Emails?
Emails, yeah. So the file itself that was stolen from them had upwards of 2.9 billion records.
Was this in the news yesterday? I mean, this is...
It's been in the news for about a week now, but it's really picking up steam because in August or this month, a hacker recently released the file for free. So on the dark web, so they dropped
the dark
it.
Anybody, web.
Anybody
that
could
sounds
download.
Ominous. What is the dark web?
So the dark web is the side of the internet that is for
criminals
and other seedy.
Well, how can
individuals.
I get a part of that?
You don't want to be a part
oh,
of it.
Oh, okay.
No,
yeah,
you do
but
not.
Is it that? I'm joking, but yeah. Is it that easy?
To get- no, it's not easy to get to. You have to know how to get there.
Okay.
So
you don't know how to
it's
get
not
there,
just,
right?
No, I don't,
okay,
actually.
Okay, good.
No.
It's not just a movie. It's not just a movie. It's
but, a real thing. No, it's a real thing, okay. Yes.
But what it is like it's like where the mob hangs out, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, and other
and bad players.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is, when I read this, so you have the everybody, every American's number, Social Security number, is on, I say own, is the Social Security Administration mm-hmm. have the numbers, mm-hmm. right?
That's
true. Okay, so are you saying there's a third party that houses that data for everybody, and that's what was hacked into? Is that what you're saying?
So National Public Data, this is a private company, so despite the name, they're a private company that basically, from what it looks like, they got this information by scraping the web, by scraping public records at the municipal, state level, and they had this information, and, you know, private investigators, law enforcement, other people, businesses could use it for background checks,
right.
But they basically kept this information, and from the details of the breach, they were keeping it in unencrypted files on their server, and back in December...
Who can we beat up? I mean, where can we go to their office and call them outside?
I mean, it is something, in my opinion, that should be regulated a little bit, obviously a lot tighter.
Why
as who
they,
has
why,
access
okay,
to this information.
Well, I was talking to your dad about this morning because, mm-hmm. You know, Ed, and he was saying what he did yesterday to – should anybody be concerned about this? Or
yeah, so – You should.
What should you do?
Brent is going to post a link for a cybersecurity firm. A couple of them probably already done it, but cybersecurity firms are posting sites where people can go out
okay.
and check to see if your information was in this data file.
Okay.
And obviously, these sites aren't going to ask for your Social Security number, so don't enter it. The one okay. that I checked yesterday, it was just first name, last name, and then your year of birth, and then the state you want to check.
Okay.
Because this goes back 30 years. So you've got people who are deceased.
Right.
You know, it'll have previous addresses for where you've lived if you're in there. And if
you
your information's
my,
in there.
Got my conspiracy man going out. So if they can go get the Social Security numbers from 30 years ago of people who's passed, can they use them for voting in some way?
Well... I'm
I wouldn't.
I'm just saying, is it a possibility?
Well, you guys need to do this off the radio.
Yeah,
because I know
we'll
both of you, and this is dynamite.
We'll talk about that offline.
Okay.
But, yeah. So people go check, and if your information is out there,
right.
There are a few things they recommend. So obviously, monitor your financial accounts for any unusual activity, and then the major credit bureaus offer the ability to freeze your credit. So you can go out there and freeze it so that nobody else can go out and use your information to open up, you know, a credit card or take out a loan or something like that.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim.
And crime's down.
Huh?
Crime's down,
yeah.
too.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, Biden.
It's a lot of joy going
yesterday.
Around. Okay. You know.
Violent crime, but, you know, this kind of crime.
Mm-hmm. Ray, do you have any questions about this topic? Yeah.
Okay. I just want to go back and ask the question again. So one of our viewers goes on this one of these websites and finds out, okay, my name, my Social Security, my stuff is out there. So tell us again what we should do. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, I need to check. I need to check for myself. I haven't done that. So what if your name pops up? Tell us what to do.
Yeah, so if your name pops up, pretty much – most of the cybersecurity firms and financial institutions are recommending that you go out and contact the three major credit bureaus and ask them to freeze your credit.
This is exhausting.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm just going to dig a hole in the backyard and put some cash in there like my granddaddy used to do.
Yeah,
you'll want to do that as a first step. If your information's out there,
that's always a good idea.
You'll want to do that. And then you'll want to, again, just... continue to monitor your financial accounts for any unusual activity over the coming years, really. I mean, you could be looking at this could take place for years.
Yeah.
You could see residual effects.
It has not been uncommon in recent years to find or hear or read news stories about somebody that you know, was a child, and then they grow up, and let's say they're now in their 20s, and they found out somebody stole their identity years ago, and they had no idea.
Yeah, well, your dad said on the radio the other day your mom had had her debit card hacked or stolen or whatever you call it, like three times in a year.
Yeah. So, and we don't know.
Is that skimming at a gas station, they call that, or is that just some random computer going 1,000 times using all over the world, these cyber criminals? And
well, I mean, it can't go without saying that this file has been out there for at least, you know, 8 months.
But you had major security breaks. Marriott got hacked into. These companies, it's just amazing to me.
This one's different because a little bit more severe because of the sensitivity of that information.
Right.
And I should say, Richard, that, you know, these credit bureaus do offer you a way to.
Richard.
Ray?
Ray Pritchard. I'm sorry.
Ray, yeah. I mean, I don't really generally call anybody's last name on the show, but if you want to, go ahead. Yeah, Pritchard. Okay, you listening, Pritchard?
Yeah.
Tagliano's talking to
I'm
you.
I'm here.
That's why they don't have me on very often. Yeah. Thank you. you can also go out after you've frozen your credit. These bureaus will offer a way for you to unfreeze it temporarily if you need to take out a loan or something
like
that.
I've had to do that before. I was trying to buy a car one time, and I thought my identity had been stolen. This was back in 2019, and I had to, in the middle of the car buying process, I then had to call the guy, and I went through security questions of which I couldn't remember the answers to try to unfreeze my credit.
Is there any advice you have for people? There's so many scams out there and stuff you read about people. Like your mom, I don't know if your mom's would be called a scam. They basically stole her debit card. But people fall for these scams and stuff. Is there any?
Yeah, I have some basic rules are never provide your personal information to anybody over the phone. So if someone calls you and starts asking for personal information.
Or via email or text.
One thing that may come from this will be more sophisticated phishing attempts because
what is it? Describe that for people who don't know.
Yes, sir. So they may take a bad actor may take this information and not necessarily be able to get a loan in under your name
or drain your bank account.
They may take this information and try to reach out to you in a more sophisticated way because now they do have your street address. Now they have your first and last name. So you, or they could reach out to somebody you know.
So for example, they'll send you an email and they'll say, "Hey, Tony." And people are naturally attracted to somebody who they think they know you from.
Or they say, you know, I'll get an email.
You want a new
Wesley.
Television?
Yeah.
Huh?
Get an email from
click
Wesley.
Click here.
And I'll say, well, how do I know you're really Wesley? And they'll say, well, I'm Wesley Wildman. You know me. Right. I live at 123 Applebee Street. You know, if you need more information,
can do stuff
I can
like
give
that.
It to you.
So it's a trick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got
phishing. Is that what you call it?
Yes, sir.
I've had several real ones that came from you to me that you had nothing to do with and that had the logo, AFA logo and everything, but there was enough there for me with the training of IT on staff to know that that's not – something's off here. And I would send it down to the IT department. They take care of it.
I got an email from a friend I thought. I knew his name. This was a couple months ago. Like you, Wesley, had his name on there, and I thought, this is weird. This is not his real email address that's showing up on here. So I sent him a picture, Ray. I said, is it this is not you, right? And he, no, this is not me. Somebody's using my name or got my name out there. Just anyway, Ray.
They called him Richard. That's how you knew that they didn't actually know who it was. Yeah.
Well, you know, Tony, I want to say sincerely, how glad I am that you came and talked to us about this. Because if this happened once, it's guaranteed. The guys on the dark web, the bad guys on the other side, if this happened once, they're going to do it again and again. So everybody listening to us, you do really good.
Right.
Really smart. Check your bank account. Check your credit cards. And I don't mean once a year. Check in on a regular basis.
And I would do as limited as business as possible on the mean that's not you can't live in today's world without doing some but I'm just saying You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
don't expose your.
All right.
Your
So, friend, step one is what Tim said: dig a hole in the backyard.
Exactly. Well, use cash only. It cash does make only. You wonder about these people that want to switch over to a cashless.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Oh well.
Do you hear people saying, "Am I wound?"
Look, come by Wesley and I's office afterwards, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Right.
Cashless society. Yeah. Anyway, all right, thank you so much, Tony.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Tony Battagliano joining us there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and also Ray, or as we call him affectionately, Pritchard. Anyway.
I'm good with that.
All right, joining us now is Jenna Ellis. Jenna, good morning to you.
Good morning. And I'm just concerned, like you're saying, that I shouldn't answer the emails from the Nigerian prince. Is that what I'm hearing?
You really didn't win. He really doesn't have a lot of money for you.
No.
Dang
so.
It. Oh,
no.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. The Nigerian prince.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's the one, of course, that, you know, is going to get all the girls out there. So we're looking for
exactly.
Our Sunday, our prince will come.
Exactly. Yeah. The Nigerian prince. That's been around 20 years. Mm-hmm. Or so. I tried it four times, and after that, I said, I think this is a scam. You know what I'm saying?
After you gave them all your information, you didn't get anything from it.
You can route the money here. If you want
he just needed $500. That's
yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. So, Jenna, the Democrat National Convention is going on, and they're going to try to highlight obviously things that they think are going to help the party win in November, but some things they're going to downplay. And I would say those things are the we'll see. Maybe they won't downplay them, but the beliefs of Waltz, the governor of Minnesota, and Harris, the VP, and they are true hardcore socialists / communists, aren't they?
They are. And I highlighted on my program this morning, the DNC stands for the Demonic National Convention. Mm-hmm. And it's accurate because we saw the Planned Parenthood van outside that was outside the DNC that was giving free vasectomies and medical abortions. I mean, this is the party of death, the party of socialism, communism. And this isn't just an insult or, you know, how people say, oh, well, Trump is racist, just to be pejorative. I mean, these are terms that actually identify their worldview, because communism, of course, is a political theory derived from Karl Marx, and Marxism, which and communism and socialism is all about economic theory and seizing the means of production and basically redistributing wealth so that everybody is equal. And Kamala Harris has even come out in the last week with wanting to put caps on grocery store products and ensuring that the state basically controls prices. She has said a $25,000 tax credit for first-time buyers, which will only increase inflation. This whole economic theory is not about you keeping what you earn, but the state determining where wealth will be redistributed. And that is communism. It is socialism. And not the Bee, which is obviously not the Babylon Bee. It's their actual news site that should be satire, but it's actual news. There was a piece yesterday that said it unearthed an article that shows Tim Walz, her vice presidential pick, taught students that communism, quote, means everyone is the same and everyone shares. And the problem with all of this and Marxism, which is basically class warfare, saying that we are born into either the oppressor or the oppressed class, and why identity politics matters to them, and you are racist or sexist if you don't vote for the black woman. This is all about ensuring that we tear down the West, and the Western values that are built and predicated on the Judeo-Christian worldview, and ultimately the truth, which is that all authority comes from God, and God delegates limited authority to civil government to preserve and protect the rights that he gave every human being made in his image. That's how we're actually all equal, is that we are all made in his image, but we don't have equality by means of the government forcing it on us. But that is exactly what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and the Democrat Party are wanting from all of this. And so to call them Marxist, socialist, communists, and demonically influenced in terms of the paganism of baby killing and child sacrifice that is abortion, all of their political theories, all of their policies fit very neatly into that framework. And so this worldview, this election comes down to, are you going to vote for the communist or the not communist?
Hey, Jenna, this is Wesley here. I appreciate you sharing that. My question for you is help us understand, maybe give us an example, either in real time or maybe in history, where our the listening audience that does not quite, they hear what you're saying, but they haven't experienced it firsthand. How can they emotionally get engaged in this, whereas other issues are more personal to them directly? This is, we're basically trying to prevent something from happening because we have some history and have examples, whereas some people would either be a neutral because they haven't experienced it, or B, they're falling for the language of like Waltz.
Right. Well, they should study history. They should study the Soviets, and they should study Venezuela. They should study where communism has been tried and failed. There is no economic system that has been predicated on genuine socialism where the government controls wealth that has ever been successful. It has always led to third world conditions and drastic poverty. But in terms of the emotional connection, we need to recognize the aspects of socialism that have already been embedded into our system. As our good friend Abraham Hamilton III always says, you know, we have elements of democracy in our constitutional republic. That's a good thing. But the elements of socialism that are already attempting to be imbibed into our system, we need to pay attention to that. If you don't like getting taxed as much as you do for the federal government to take your money and to give it to Ukraine when you didn't have a say, you didn't vote for that, that is redistribution of wealth. It's taking what you have earned and the government not earning it, they're a non-revenue generating institution, and saying we can take it because we have the power, and we can then put your wealth, your hard-earned money, resources, property to wherever we prefer.
So you could also go look at your check.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I'm making a point that if you look at your check and see how much is coming out tax-wise.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call taxation communism.
No.
Libertarians would call it theft.
No.
Well, I think we do have to split between what is, I mean, because the Bible says pay your taxes, right?
Sure.
I mean, some taxing in terms of things that are for the public good that we all agree on, like I'm glad that the fire department will show up when my fire alarm goes off at 1 a.m. like it did last week, you know, that's a good thing and my tax dollars go to that. But when you have such a large extent of taxes, like, you know, what is it, 30 or 40%?
That's what I'm talking
about. Now, that is theft, because that's taking way too much to then redistribute as the government sees fit. And I think that is an aspect of communism. That is being embedded in our system just under the auspices of a very terrible 16th Amendment that, in my opinion, needs to be repealed.
Thank you, Jenna, for cleaning that up, because Dad wouldn't agree with me, but I think he agrees with me now.
Well, I don't know what I'm agreeing with, honestly, but
repealing the 16th Amendment, land collect income taxes, no way.
That's what a father does. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay, Jenna, so I'm thinking, listening to what you're saying, what we have here is by far, not just left-leaning, this is by far the most radical left-leaning national ticket that, well, in our lifetime, that we have ever seen. And it seems to me that the Democrats, they're just being upfront about it. This is the truth. This is who they are. How is this going to play? Who's going to respond to this? I mean, watching what's coming out of Chicago this week, who's their target audience in I guess, Jenna, what I'm trying to say, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, this would have been impossible to imagine a national ticket as left-leaning as the Democrats are. How's this going to play in America moving forward?
Well, and that's where, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, that's true. But the Overton window, which is basically the theory that what is normalized and accepted in society has shifted radically left. And so when you look back, even on the issue of abortion, you know, you had Bill Clinton saying safe, legal, and rare. You had Obama saying that, you know, he didn't support homosexual marriage initially, right? And then the Obergefell decision. So, I mean, we've seen these encroachments to where we're at now that Trump and his policy, some of them, at least on LGBT and abortion, are to the left of some of the Democrats, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And that's where the Overton window has shifted. And their target audience right now is primarily college students, Gen Zers, the younger vote, who don't understand civics and socialism and communism and Marxism, or they have been indoctrinated into Marxism, and they actually affirmatively believe that the West needs to fall. They buy into the 1619 Project, all of that ridiculousness that American history needs to be disbanded. We need to, you know, unburden ourselves of what was so that we can go into the future, like Kamala says. And they're also targeting women because, again, if you play identity politics, then you're a sexist and a racist if you don't vote for Kamala Harris. It doesn't matter her merits. It doesn't matter her policy. It only matters that we shatter the glass ceiling, like what Hillary Clinton said on the floor of the Demonic National Convention last night. And this is the so-called women's rights. So they are intentionally targeting certain issues that play to people who don't know better, and the people also who have been indoctrinated in Marxism. And this is why civic education absolutely matters, and we need to get back and reshift the Overton window to say it's absolutely absurd that you would have state-funded abortions on demand and a Planned Parenthood vasectomy and medical abortion bus outside of the DNC and just shouting their abortions as if that's okay.
Yeah, when you listen, we're in a precarious situation here in America because so many people, I would say at least 40 under, have been dumbed down to the to the differences in government philosophy. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kamala Harris is advocating for price controls on the economy. You listen to her. Yeah. She doesn't talk about it every day, but she's been on record on saying that. She thinks you need to pay for everybody who comes here to America illegally. She says we need to pay for all their housing, their health costs. I mean, this is socialism and communism, and it's an utter and abject failure anywhere it's been tried. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.